So I have the added benefit of all of these services without the added risk associated with that. That risk is all on their own companies. It's on the hospice companies. It's on the doctors. It's on the nurses. It's not on Platinum. It's not on me, right? So really, I have a very low risk because by default, I am non-medical. I am just creating the building, the place, right, where they come in and do these things. So literally, like, the doctors, the nurses, they'll come in, they'll see them either in their own bedroom or we set up our salon. When I got into this niche, there was only the big smelly facility and the dinky RALs that didn't make any money, and I didn't see a play in this space. So I build and operate luxury 16-bed memory care mansions, and I want to show you that there's another way. So as I grow my business, I'm here to document my journey and show you the tips and strategies that you can use. Welcome back to Assisted Living Investing with me, your host, Brett Schottkavis. I own and operate Platinum Resort Assisted Living and Memory Care in Georgetown, Texas, and I use this business and this investment strategy to create financial freedom and time freedom for myself and my family. So what I want to talk to you about today is limiting your risk in this niche of assisted living. Because there's a lot of talk about, you know, assisted living as an investment or as a business is higher risk, right? Because of the medical aspects there, because people are literally dying in your home, in your business, there's higher risk involved with potential lawsuits and other things in that nature. And people usually will take this perspective in a comparison to something, right? If you're looking at this as an investment strategy or a real estate investment play, you may look at assisted living investing versus multifamily and say, hey, you know, most people are not dying in multifamily, right? There's probably less risk, less liability there. Or you may say, from a business perspective, right? If I'm going to open a restaurant, right? Like, I'm just slinging food, I'm making burgers, maybe I'm building houses. There's less risk there because, again, you know, people may get injured, but they're not there dying, or there's not a common reputation in the industry for elder abuse or bad care. Because honestly, end-of-life care, nursing homes, those kind of places, they have a bad rap. There's a lot of things you see on the news with elder abuse, with neglect, with people getting stuck outside in the snow or in the stairwell or something like that, right? It's like a bunch of drama that's happening. So I want to unpack this today because I've been doing this and I think that there is actually very, very low risk and liability on the business and the investment side. So I want to show you how I set that up, because some of this I think is misinformation in the industry, and I can unpack some of this, why it's actually very low risk from the medical side. And then some of it is just deal structure, how I'm setting this up to prevent potential excess or liability from lawsuits and things as a deal in itself. So let's unpack these things. So as far as deal structure, really you have two separate businesses here. You have a real estate company and you have an operations company, and you for sure want to separate them, right? I have separate LLCs for mine, and each of them actually have a holding company behind those. But for each of these two separate businesses, there is the real estate company, which has a triple net lease over to the operations company. And really, I want to separate the risk of two different things, right? I have my real estate company, which has a lot of equity, all right? I built substantially cheaper than what the value is, and it continues to grow every year in equity. So I have a long-term play. That's my retirement play. That's my big money when I go to sell, right? That I want to protect because that's like my nest egg. So I don't want people trying to sue me for those things, right? So I'm keeping that separate away from the operations company by using that triple net lease. The second thing is I have my monthly cash flow, right? My business spits off money and it makes great money. So there's income over there, and I want to use other strategies to protect that. So ultimately, I am trying to separate these two things. And I think that's super important. You don't want to keep your real estate and your operations company together. Because really where the risk does come in is on the business side. It's on the operations. There's not going to be too much happening with the building itself that's going to create risk, right? And that's why you created this triple net lease or this commercial lease to rent to your other entity. So let's talk about the medical side, the business side, because I think that's where people get stuck a lot of times. They say, you know, I have to have all this medical stuff and people have medications and they have dementia and, you know, there's abuse and neglect and falls, and there's all these different things that is really like my insurance must be crazy, or, you know, there's a lot of liability or risk of lawsuits over these kind of things. And really, I want to unpack that because I don't think there's very much risk at all. And part of it is because of the way it is structured. So let's talk about these. What I do is assisted living and memory care, but really it is not medical. Assisted living is a non-medical business. It's a non-medical license. When I go get my license, right, there's different types of licenses. There's foster care, there's assisted living, there's nursing homes, hospitals have a license. And depending on your type of license, there's different things that go into that. Now, for me, assisted living, that is non-medical. I don't have to have medical personnel on staff or on salary. If I went up one more level of care needs, that would be nursing home. And it has the name right there. It says nurse in the nursing home name, right? You have to have nurses there. Nurses have a license. There's doctors there, right? That is a medical facility. I'm one step down from that. I am assisted living, which is technically non-medical. So here's what that means. And here's how I leverage that to create a huge win for the niche that I'm in. For me, I do not have to have doctors on my payroll. I don't have to have nurses on my payroll, home health, hospice, dentist, podiatrist, all these people, they are not on my payroll. But nonetheless, they come into my mansion. They come and they treat my grandmas. They take care of them. But none of them I am paying. None of them I am managing. None of them are on my insurance. In fact, they have their own insurance. They have their own liability insurance. If they screw up, it's on their own company. It's not on my company. It's not on Platinum because I don't employ them. They are billing the residents' insurance directly. So what that creates is a real win for me because I am leveraging all of these outside services. And that's a term that I use for all of these medical people who have their own license and they come into my mansion. I am leveraging them. I'm not even paying for them to come in, but nonetheless, they come into our mansion, they treat all the grandmas, and I get the added benefit of I can potentially charge a higher rent because grandma gets everything that she needs, right? All the end of life care, the hospice, the home health, the doctors, like literally they have their doctors and nurses that come in every single week, see all of our grandparents, and I'm not paying for any of that, right? I'm just paying for caregivers, a chef, and a manager. It's the only people that I have on my own payroll and that are covered by my insurance. So I have the added benefit of all of these services without the added risk associated with that. That risk is all on their own companies. It's on the hospice companies. It's on the doctors. It's on the nurses. It's not on Platinum. It's not on me, right? So really, I have a very low risk because by default, I am non-medical. I am just creating the building, the place, right, where they come in and do these things. So literally like the doctors, the nurses, they'll come in, they'll see them either in their own bedroom or we set up our salon. On the days that our barber is not there, we use the salon for a lot of these outside services. We'll actually come and have the dentist set up in the salon and they run it right there in the barber chair, right? Like there's a lot of advantages that we can use by leveraging these outside services to create a solution for the family. The family has a problem. They have mom at the end of life in her 90s potentially, and they don't want to take her out to doctor's visits all the time. All of those services come into my building. I get to use all of those things and create a bigger solution for the family and by default, therefore potentially solve a bigger problem and charge a higher rent amount. So higher rent amount, lower risk. That's why I really, really like this. So I said that assisted living is non-medical. Really, what we do is we take care of ADLs. That's activities of daily living. So it's really just the day-to-day stuff that you as a family member, as a son or daughter would help mom do, right? It's walking, it's eating, it's bathing, it's toileting, it's medication management, helping them with the medications that they have already been prescribed. So there are some risks. Let's go through some of these things. The common things that happen in assisted living are falls. That's the biggest thing that happens, right? You are having a bunch of grandmas who are declining. They go from walking on their own to walking with a walker to maybe needing a wheelchair, and then they can't walk at all at some point, right? Our niche is end of life, the last 3, 4, 5 years, and they decline during that whole period, and they're walking and their gait changes. And during those transition periods, they do fall. But we're honest with the family. Like if your loved one is going to fall at your home or their own home, they're going to fall here. If they are moving in and the daughter says, hey, mom, you know, has a history of falls, we let them know we are not preventing her falls. We can't stop her from falling. That's going to happen. But we are in a smaller environment. We're in this big mansion where literally like we can hear when someone falls. You can literally hear it from the manager's office when someone hits the ground, right? Like we'll be there in a minute, right? It's not like she's in some big box facility where she's going to be in her own apartment and fall and no one's going to find her for 2 days, right? Like we're not going to solve or prevent her from falling, but we are going to be there immediately to help her with those things. So falls are a real problem, but that's just part of this, what this industry is. Like the other component to this is they're not going into a hospital expecting that they're going to get healed and come back out and be great. They are moving into platinum, which is end of life, right? They are there as their last stop. The families know they are going to platinum and this is the last place they're moving them into, right? They are anticipating them passing there. It's not a problem. It's not a expectation that is missed when there are continual falls, when there are declines, right? That's not on us. That's why they're here. We're here to assist them as they do decline. We're here to assist them and take care of them the best we possibly can as they do die. That is the reality of it. And that expectation is there for the families, which really sets up a limit on risk because the families know this is what's going to happen. They're not surprised when it does happen. So a couple of the items that are on the ADL side, which are legitimately in the risk category, are abuse and neglect. And that's usually from your caregivers. So having the best staff does make a huge difference. Having a smaller, more intimate home does make a big difference. So abuse can be physical abuse. It can be verbal abuse, emotional abuse. And then neglect is usually just you've left someone in a bad situation, whether most commonly probably in their room, in their bed, which may lead to bed sores, or perhaps you have not changed their brief for a long period of time. They're getting a rash on their bottom. Those are the most common kind of things. And really, that's not a huge problem that's unsolvable. That's really a system problem, right? That's having a great manager who can create a routine, who's gonna hold your staff accountable. Those are there. You can't take away all risk, but you can create systems to make them very manageable. And I think those are actually really low if you run a quality operations company. So let's talk about insurance next, because we have insurance and I have insurance for these risks that we talked about. So let's kind of break things down. I have several different types of insurance. The real estate company has its own insurance policy for the actual building. Then on the operations company, that has its own insurance policy as well. There's professional liability, there's general liability, and there's also business income insurance. So there are specific policies that you can get, you can kind of customize to increase or decrease your risk on some of these things. And again, I don't think it's a huge thing. It's not an overwhelming cost for these insurance policies either. And the last insurance that I do have is work comp insurance. So I do want to say that the way you structure this, the niche that I'm in does make a difference. I do use this to lower my risk. So we talked about how I use outside services already, but the other thing that's super important is the income. I run a luxury 16-bed memory care mansion, which allows me an abundance of income, which is important for this reason, because I pay for two managers. I can have two full-time people there to make sure that all the staff, all the operations is going well, that there's plenty of checks, balances, procedures to make sure the staff is not doing any of these things like abuse, neglect, that they're properly trained, that they have a fantastic culture where we're cultivating great staff to come in. And then we also can afford to pay the highest in the area. We pay $1 to $2 more than every other facility around because I want the best of the best. This industry is known for job jumpers. They will literally go to another facility for a quarter more an hour. They will be like, no, I'm going to go over there. It's 25 cents. What difference does 25 cents make? You want the best of the best people that are not going to be jumping around, that ultimately you have stable staff who are well-trained and they know your grandmas, they love your grandmas, they know the families love them, and it creates a real win-win and it ultimately does lower the risk potential on these things. So the other component here that I think is really important is the size, right? If you are huge corporate, nobody knows who you are as the owner. The families don't know you. They don't really know the managers and the directors. They're always turning over. If you have a smaller size or you have a more intimate family-owned business, then there's actual legitimate relationships there. Like, I know all of our families. I know all the sons. I know all the daughters. We literally just spent Christmas together and Thanksgiving not long before that. I ate with them. I sang with them. I prayed with them. I know them by name. They know me. They know my kids. Like, we have a legitimate relationship with these families. And there's a bond and there's a trust, and they know that things go wrong. They understand that. And they know that Laura and I are legitimately trying to do the best we can for their loved one. And that goes a long way, as opposed to big corporate where the daughter comes in and she has no idea who's running the place, who the decision makers are. It just seems like corporate greed because pricing keeps going up. Like, there is a big difference in the mental perspective of when things do go wrong. Like, let me take legal action. Also, in my experience, having a higher end product, charging more rent for the assisted living, brings in families and customers that are less likely and less inclined to get into legal battles and give you a hard time about things that are not actually legitimate. So to wrap this up for you, if you are new to this niche, if you're exploring investing in assisted living and you think there is too much risk or maybe a disproportionate risk, there's not. Actually, the risk can be very, very limited and the reward can be supercharged. There is a really high reward relative to the risk in this space. Well, thank you for joining me today. I will see you on the next one.